Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Love University, Dr. Alex Avila, clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And we're back again for another session of Love University. I missed you guys last week, and I really enjoy being with you and basically imparting knowledge and wisdom, because Love University is different from any other school. Now, I know some people hate school and some people love school. Now, there was a student who was talking to his dad, and he was saying, "Dad, I'm not going to school, and I'm going to give you three reasons why. Number one, it's boring. Number two, nobody likes me there. And number three, I hate school." And the father said to the son, "Son, I'm going to give you three reasons why you are going to school. Number one, it's your duty. Number two, you're 45 years old. And number three, you're the teacher." Now, think about that. You know, some people really can't stand school. But Love University is not just a regular school. Here we're teaching you how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. So we're talking about your personal relationships, your relationship with yourself and with others. Now, today's topic is one I'm really interested in, and I think it's really applicable to our world today. It is called how to live with courage, courageousness. And I define courage as action despite the fear. So no matter how afraid you are, how worried you are about doing something, you will still do it because you're going to go forward. When we think of courage, we think of firefighters and first responders who obviously help people save their lives and they risk their lives. But courage can also mean psychological. For example, a teenager who turns down peer pressure, you know, not to do drugs, not to do anything immoral. Talking to an attractive person. Let's say you're a little shy and you go up and talk to that person that you want to talk to. Or go for the job you really want. You know, let's say you're afraid to, you know, go for this position, but you could do it anyways. It could also mean going away from social pressure. For example, not laughing at jokes that aren't funny. And sometimes people do that, right? We just try to fit in with people and impress them, but it's not really being authentic to ourselves. So being true to yourself is one of the most courageous things you can do. Now, research shows that there actually is a courage center in the brain. They did a study. People who are afraid of snakes. Now, I don't know if anyone here is afraid of snakes, but a lot of people are. Imagine lying down and they have you hooked up to a brain scan, and a snake is coming towards you on a conveyor belt. And you can either press a button to move the snake away or towards you. Now, most people obviously would move it away, but some people want to test their courage. So they actually press the button and the snake comes closer. They measure the brain waves at that time, and they find that there is a center of the brain that lights up when you show courage. It's called the courage center of the brain, also known as the anterior cingulate cortex. So in reality, there is a part of your brain that deals with courage. Now, let's say we want to become courageous. You know, we want to be able to act despite the fear and accomplish what we want and do what we need to do in life without fear. We first need to deal with the fear. And courage, in a sense, is a reversal of fear. It's the opposite of fear. So to reverse fear, we need to take, again, action despite the fear. We need to build our courage muscles, just like we exercise and build our physical muscles. So when we want to talk to someone we want to talk to, we take a step toward that person, even if we're a little bit shy. Or if we want to accomplish something, our business goals, our financial goals, whatever it might be, we need to start doing more of what we want to do despite the fear. The second thing is we need to realize how much fear can actually harm us. You know, research shows that fear can raise your blood pressure, interfere with your digestion and performance. So speakers and other people in business that have a lot of fear and anxiety often do worse in their performance because the fear and anxiety gets in the way. Also, it's important to enlarge your comfort zone. You know, most of us, you know, do things in a repetitive way. We go to work the same way. We eat at the same restaurants. We talk to the same people. But what if you start doing something a little different? You know, go out of your way to a new route to work. Have food at a different restaurant. Talk to people you don't know. Do something that's going to get you out of that comfort zone. It's a little bit risky, a little bit maybe anxiety provoking, but it's good to help you grow your courage muscles, your confident muscles. Now, some people are actually afraid of taking elevators. So you can maybe take an elevator to the second floor. I mean, it's not very high. So that's a start to get you to that point of view where, you know, you're changing your mindset, right? It's no longer based on fear. You can enlarge your thinking mind. Instead of being, you know, guided by your primitive fear mind, you can do something like crossword puzzles, or you can be on the internet or do some game that engages you intellectually so you can move away from the emotional fear. One exercise I like to use with my therapy clients is to actually write down your fears in a little notebook, a little journal, and give it like a fun name. For example, Papa Fear and Mother Anxiety, Mama Anxiety. And then, of course, you have your cousins, worry and apprehension, or worry and stress. You might even create a little cartoon out of it, you know, get some crayons, and you'll, what you do is you basically take away the power of the fear because they're now little cartoon characters. You know, there's nothing like they're going to challenge you or destroy you. So this is a way to reduce your fears, making them into a little bit of a cartoon. And the other thing that I like to do with our clients is dealing with breathing, because many times breathing is very connected to your tension in your muscles and your stress. So learning how to breathe deeply and fully is very important. And here's a little exercise I want you to do. And actually, Engineer Dan, could you also join me here?
Absolutely.
Okay. I want you to straighten out your arms like this, okay, and clench your fists. And I want you to inhale and hold your breath as long as you can as you lift your arms a little bit. Ready? Okay. You're not going to die. So not yet. Okay. So inhale. And then exhale. Let your arms drop. Okay. As you exhale, let your arms drop. Let your body go all the way down and be relaxed. Let's try it again. So you're going to bring your arms up. You're going to hold your breath as long as you can. Inhale. Clench your fist really strong, tight, 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 and relax. How did you feel doing that, Dan?
I feel slightly lightheaded.
Okay, you're not drinking.
But in a good way.
Yes, okay. I mean, it's better than drinking or anything else. It's like a little bit of relaxation. And this is actually something you can do 10 to 15 times a day in the morning or the evening. And it helps you relax. I call it tighten and relax. So you tighten your muscles and breathing, and then you relax. It's a good way to eliminate that stress, that anxiety that we have in our society, right? Everyone's rushing around. Everyone's tied into technology and trying to do too many things at one time. So the way to relax and eliminate the fear that you're not going to be able to do enough is to take a pause. You'll take a breath. So here we are. So we're working on reducing our fear. And this is a great approach, minimizing fear. But how do we develop courage? The actual inner trait that helps us achieve what we want. You know, we can go beyond obstacles. We can go beyond fears. So courage is a muscle, something that you could exercise. Now, here's a very powerful idea, is to develop courage, you need to love yourself first. Because when you follow your authentic purpose in life, whether it's to be a teacher, a writer, a handy person, a craftsperson, a good parent, a good lover, a good spouse, a good friend, whatever your purpose is in life, when you follow that, you all of a sudden get courage and you get confidence because you're doing what you need to do. You're doing what's authentic to you, your real nature. So loving yourself first, many times we don't do that, right? We try to impress other people, right? We're inauthentic at times. We try to fit in, but it's not really us. And we feel inadequate at times. We feel anxiety prone and fearful. So being loving yourself is the key. Number two, saying what you believe with conviction. And many times that means saying no. Now, in one of our previous podcasts, we talked about the power of no. No can be very powerful. No to the things you don't want. No to the people you don't want to spend time with. No to the events and parties that you really don't belong. Many times we try to, again, go along with people. But we need to learn how to say that simple word, simple word no, to protect our energy, to protect who we are. People want us to do things we don't want to do, burden us in several ways. It's not that we're being selfish or self-centered. It's that we're protecting our inner core so we can help people more, so we can be more compassionate. So there are times when we need to say no, to that salesperson, to the other person that's trying to give us things that we don't want. Something else is people who are fearful often fear the future. They fear, I'm going to lose, my health, my looks, my money, my family, my friendship, right? Everything's a fear, right? I'm going to get older. I'm going to, lose something. So instead of reacting to your future, why don't you invent your future? In other words, visualize a successful future, right? See yourself being stronger, more confident, more loving, more successful, and put that in your mind as a visualization. So Dan, let's try this meditation now.
Ooh.
Okay. You're back in here. Okay. I know you're in here, right? Okay. So Dan, what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes and everyone listening here in the audience, do the same thing. And imagine the way you would be in 5 years from today. Let's say that your future is beautiful. Everything's turning out great. And imagine what you see yourself doing, what you look like, what you're dressed like, who's around you, and your feeling. Tell me a little bit about that, Dan. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I'd like to be 10 pounds lighter.
Okay.
Maybe five.
Okay. I get that.
I would be dropping my daughter off at college,
okay,
which would be simultaneously the proudest moment and the hardest
okay
moment of my life.
Okay, good. How about your career? I mean, do you see yourself as an engineer or a producer from some big company?
That's a good question. I suppose so. Or have a big company. I'd have a big company. I have no problem.
Okay. Well, you're a big guy, so you need a big company, right?
I'm absolutely huge.
At least mentally.
Exactly.
Okay. So you can do this, 10 years in the future. You can do 20 years and see yourself progressively improving and growing your future. And this takes away the fear, because many times fear is what keeps people from taking chances, from taking risks. For example, you might want to buy your dream car, your dream house. You might want to go on a wild safari. You might want to write a book, adopt a child. Rescue animals, whatever it is that you feel is your mission in life, what you want to do, this is what you need to visualize. The other thing that's important in building courage is to focus on helping the people that you really want to help. There was a young man that was hazed in a fraternity. He was emotionally damaged by the hazing, bullying. And he wrote a letter to the newspaper in the college, and he explained what happened to him. All his friends at the fraternity, pretty much left him. But he didn't care, because he knew he was helping other potential victims who had also been victims of the hazing. So this actually drove him to be that courageous person. Something else is find a courage associate, someone that can stand with you. Maybe you want to join an organization for helping the environment or protecting animals or women or children or any other kind of cause that you believe in, and find people that are like-minded that can also stand with you and help you be that courageous person to stand for what you believe in. Also, focus on positive feedback, because many times our brains are wired to look at the negativity, right? The negative side of things. Public speakers, sometimes, if they're maybe a little anxious, they focus on the person that doesn't like them, right? They're looking away and, they don't like me, I'm not doing well. But I say to people, and I train speakers in my Invincible You platform. We have a platform for speakers that motivate people. I teach them, focus on the one person who does like you, who's smiling, even though everyone else may hate you, okay? You don't care, because that one person is a person you want to, focus your attention on, and you feel good because someone likes me, right? I'm doing a good job. So focus on the positive. And also find role models of courageous people. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Eleanor Roosevelt. There are a lot of great leaders, Mother Teresa, who risked their reputation, their very lives, to help other people. So find these role models, imitate them, follow some of their paths, and that can also help you, inspire you to be courageous. Now, courage is more than just an emotional trait. It's a very practical skill. It's a tool. We find that leaders in business owners often have courage to make the hard decisions, right? To take risks. So they, for example, they say what needs to be said. Now, sometimes you might need to even fire someone who's not doing the job. But of course, you want to be compassionate and tactful at the same time. But you need to make those hard decisions. You need to take that chance, and do what you need to do as a business leader. You also need to look for the right opportunities. Maybe there's a new business you can start, a new division, a new product or invention. You might need to invest money and possibly even lose the money, which is very common in business. But you take that risk because you're open to that opportunity. Also, if you have team members, let's say you have people that you work with who do take risks, sometimes they will make mistakes, but you need to realize, I'm going to reward them for their successes, not just punish them for their mistakes, because every risk may bring a failure or a mistake, but you need to encourage the successes and keep encouraging people to take those risks. Also, trusting your team, because many times, entrepreneurs, business owners, and leaders may be a little hesitant. They think they can do it all themselves. And no one can do it as good as I do. But that could be a problem because you're overwhelmed and you don't delegate. So learning how to hire the right people, train them, and then trust them is very important, that they can do the job so they can take the load off you and also accomplish what you need to accomplish. And finally, listen to feedback or criticism. Now, no one likes to be criticized, but there are times where we're going to make mistakes in the business world in general. And we need to learn from our mistakes. Take that criticism in a positive way and learn from it. And don't repeat them if you can help it. But move forward and say that, every day I learn something new, I'm getting stronger, I'm getting better. It's kind of like when people think, I blew it, I made a mistake. So they have regret. But I tell people, think about it this way. Think that you're in a certain grade level. Let's say you're in the fifth grade. When you're fifth grade, you're going to make fifth grade mistakes. But when you go higher, let's say you're in college, psychologically, you're not going to make the same mistakes. So you could not have acted any differently because you were at that level, whatever level you were at, first grade, second grade. Some people are still in kindergarten, right? They haven't changed. But hopefully, through the lessons that we learn here in life, we can advance ourselves psychologically and emotionally where we can, be more mature and be more cognizant of our mistakes and improve ourselves. And finally, being courageous in love. Now, that's crucial, isn't it? Because many times people have fear. They can be very confident in the business world, but when it comes to, finding the right soulmate or, being with that person, they can be very anxious and fearful about it. And some people are shy. And I actually wrote a book called The Gift of Shyness, how shy people have great advantages. You know, they get very sensitive. They're very loving, but they are very self-conscious. They think everyone's looking at them. And they have what I call the self-observer. So they're always looking at themselves and thinking, oh, people don't like me. They're going to criticize me. So basically, I ask people, how many shy people does it take to change a light bulb? None. They'd rather stay in the dark. Well, I don't want to turn off the lights right now, so that would be funny. Right, yeah. So in a sense, shy people have that. So the key is to make friends with the same or opposite sex. Start by making a friend, conversationally. Break the ice with small talk, something, talk to the waiter, the bartender, or even someone next to you about the weather, about, minor things, and start to build a momentum, build like a flow of your conversation so you can get more confident and talk about more deeper topics, interesting topics. Let's say you go on a date with someone and you want to go on a second date. Now, many times people are a little afraid to ask because they can be rejected, but go ahead and ask anyways, ask for that second date if you want to see them again, because courage is a very sexy trait. They may or may not want to go out with you, but they'll admire that you at least ask them, right? So that's a very attractive trait. If you're in love with someone, be the first one to say, I love you. Because oftentimes we want to wait till the other person says it first. But if you really feel it, say it. Again, it's a risk, but it's something you can do to build your courage, right? To be in love, because love takes a lot of courage. To be vulnerable, right? To be intimate, it takes risk. And finally, when you're ready to commit to the next step, whether it's living together or marriage, be the first to say, hey, I want to let's do this. Let's move in. Let's get married. Let's commit. Again, it's scary. It can be risky, but the rewards are wonderful, right? The passion and the joy that you can have in a great relationship really are well worth that risk. So developing courage, it kind of boils down to this. Courage is about loving yourself first, right? Because you love yourself, you're authentic with yourself. You do the things you need to do. You're not fake or artificial. You're not trying to impress anyone. You're being true to yourself, and you have more confidence to do what you need to do, whether it's a relationship or a job opportunity, economically, whatever it is that you're trying to get to. Loving other people is very powerful because you can be an advocate for other people, right? You can be the person that helps right injustices. When there's bullying or any kind of victimization, you can be the person that steps forward and say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. So courage in that sense. And finally, courage in a higher power, having belief in a higher power that is going to take care of you. So if you have any faith or belief in something higher, that can also bring you a great deal of confidence and a great deal of courage because you know that you will always be protected and loved no matter what. So today we've learned a little bit about courage. So I want you guys to go out and try it. Ask that person out you always wanted to ask and go for that job you always wanted to go. Look into that business you want to start. Maybe you want to lose weight, get into a new health practice. Maybe you want to move to a new place or travel and you're afraid to do it. I don't have the money. Or you want to buy a beautiful house or car that you really want. Look into that. Maybe that's what you need to do. We only have a slice of eternity on this earth. A little bit of time to really accomplish our dreams, to bring the love into our life. And it starts with courage. It starts with saying yes to the things that we really want and say no to what we don't want. And loving yourself and loving others and a higher nature. Now, if anyone wants to call me here and ask any questions or maybe be a guest on our show, Dan, do we need some guests?
We need some guests.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it'll be great to get people on here and we can help them. So definitely you want to email us at lovetype4u@AOL.com, LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com. You can call us at 310-226-8090. And I also do a therapy. I have a therapy practice. We can help you in many areas and domestic abuse and family and marriage issues. And our website, which actually came out pretty recently, is loveuniversity.love. So yeah, we have love at the end of it. We're not com, right? We're not dot. We're just love. It's all love. So I would say everyone here, it's wonderful to see you today. And take these lessons and apply them in your daily life. Love University is about real world application. Love is not just a feeling. It's not just a romantic idea. It's a real world tool. It's a real power that you have inside you to contribute to yourself, others, and the world. Until next time, my students and friends, Love University is now in recess.